With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As the seasons shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
Down to business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland
on News Talk.
My next guest has led an extraordinary life as a cancer survivor, multi-medal winning Paralympian and business coach. His new book is really a clarion call to create high-performing teams. And it's great to welcome Mark Woods, author of Best Teams, Creating and Maintaining High-Performing Teams, to the show. Good afternoon to you, Mark.
Good afternoon, John.
Not John Emmett, but thanks for that, nevertheless.
I'm terribly sorry. I'm looking at the bottom of the Zoom there.
Oh, that's all right. That's okay. We won't hold that. We're going to have some team working problems here, but we'll get over that initial problem. Mark, if I can, you've got a great background. We'll maybe get into a little bit about that in a few seconds, but let's talk about sport and teams, because we're going to have some big sporting occasions going on here in Dublin this afternoon. Is there lessons from sport, or is there something else going on about great teams more generally, some kind of secret sauce they all have to have?
I think there is certain things that there's commonality across both sports teams and the corporate teams, or any type of team, really. And for me, that's around empowering the people that are part of that team. So it's obvious within a sports situation where you're let's take the rugby this afternoon, where you want those team members to be able to be free to do what they think they need to do in the moment. But you also need defined processes. You know, there has to be clarity around processes, whether that's sport or in the corporate world. And you need to have a supportive culture. And if you have those three things, that's where the magic can really happen.
Now, that's a great elastic word, supportive cultures. What do you mean when you say supportive? Is that being positive reinforcement, or is it making people accountable? It could mean a lot of different things.
It could mean a lot of different things. And I have bucketed the things up within those areas. For me, the four things around developing a culture that's resilient, and so that when the tough times happen, you are still able to perform. It's creating a level of psychological safety. So your listeners probably aware of the work that Google did around Project Aristotle to understand exactly what's the most important thing to drive a high performing team, and that is the ability to be yourself and be vulnerable and say things that others might not like, but not get shot down for it. And so the psychological safety is important. Inclusion in the broadest sense, so that sense that everybody can be involved in the success or the failure of a given team. And then that one team ethos where everybody's pulling together in the same direction. There's no silos, there's no one superstar that should get all the credit or all the support behind them, that everybody's involved.
Now, you're a very, very accomplished sports person. I can't even read out. There's so much stuff, but you've won 12 Paralympic medals from 5 games. You've been in World Championships, European Championships. You've held records across 200 metres as a swimmer, 400 metres, 1,500 metres. It just goes on and on. Sometimes we get pushback at these items where people say, look, the workplace is not the same as sport and so on. Do you have any sympathy with that view, that they're not directly translatable, or would you push back yourself on that idea?
Well, obviously, I used to be a swimmer, and I'm not suggesting anybody should do everything that I did, from wearing Lycra to shaving my legs. but I think there are a lot of commonalities, because at the end of the day, whether it's a sports team or a business team, it's human beings. And it's how we get the best out of those human beings That's what I'm interested in, which is why it doesn't matter whether you're empowering a team of players on the field, or you're empowering a group of individuals to sell widgets. You have to. There's commonality across the piece.
Yeah, I suppose the reason I'm asking is more because I know sports people, and you probably were like this, but maybe not. They're hyper competitive. You know, even if you take them out of the sports domain, they want to compete in whatever the other domain they're in. People in the workplaces, not everyone is competitive. Some of them just want to do their job, pay their mortgage and go home. They might not necessarily be possessed by that competitive spirit. So is that a sort of an awkward that people might not buy in as much to this whole team ethos and see the urgency of it the way that a very competitive person might?
I can appreciate that point of view, but I think we are all motivated by different things. And absolutely, some people just want to receive the paycheck and go home. But we spend an awful lot of time working, and I'm a true believer that we should try and enjoy that time. And as leaders, we need to consider how best to motivate our people, even if really they're just there for the paycheck. And it doesn't mean about giving bonuses. It doesn't mean about fancy business titles. It can be simple things like saying thank you for a job well done. So I do understand where you're coming from on that, but I don't think it's just for the hyper competitive.
Now, one of the things I do like about your book, from certainly the pieces I've read, is the idea that communication can stymie a good team. Grey areas, inconsistent, unclear, ineffective communication. So people, both of them might be very well intentioned. They might want the organisation and themselves to do well. So they're all going into this with the best of ideas and so on. But just something wasn't translated across properly, etc. So you place a heavy emphasis on this whole communication thing, that can bring down the best teams in the world.
Oh, absolutely! And when you go through the book, I've brought in some specialists for each of the attributes that I think create and maintain a high performing team. And for the communication piece, I spoke to some brilliant people, and the commonality when I spoke to those people was that you have to first of all consider not what you want to say, but the outcome that you want from the people that you're saying it to. And consider the impact of your words on them as the primary start point, rather than saying, I've got to be motivational, I've got to tell them what they've got to do. That really doesn't cut it if you want to be a high-performing team.
Now, Mark, I don't want to draw you into dangerous waters when we look at people, paragons that are out in our public life and so on, but looking at the cult of personality of the CEO, I mean, the bookshelves are rammed with books about various leaders and corporate leaders, and this highly heroic, farsighted leader did this and all the rest. Do you think that's sort of helpful in this whole building of a team, to have this sort of this CEO, the super CEO, the great man of history idea? Like, do you think that's actually one of the problems we have, that too much of the lore around this area is about just one person and the great things they did and so on? Do you think that almost you're sort of purging that out of the system and coming up with a different team model?
I'm trying to create something that's accessible for everybody, that doesn't necessarily have the rock star superstar CEO leading at the helm. When I think about the leadership qualities, it's not about their profile, it's about their integrity, fundamentally. Not all successful leaders have that, but there's often an expense to that. And my belief is that we can create environments, and leaders can create environments, where people actually enjoy their work and be high performing. So I'm not against rockstar CEOs, but I think we can all learn the behaviours to be good leaders.
Now, we have looked at different companies over the years and their leadership style. You've actually delved into, you've done a number of in-depth interviews with leaders from different groups, some companies, some sporting organisations. So what kind of things did they tell you?
Oh, well, I mean, what I did was, originally I was going to write a case study for each of the attributes that are in my model. There's 12 attributes. And then I started doing my interviews. My first one was with someone called Charles Kahn, who's the chairman of Patagonia. And I wanted to talk to him about integrity. They're a brand that have great integrity, very well respected. And the interview was so rich that I thought, well, I can't then just turn that into my own words and do a case study. So I've actually kept the conversations with each of those amazing leaders within the book itself. So Charles Conn did a great job in integrity. Simon Lambert, chief learning officer at Microsoft, did something on growth mindset, talking about how we need to shift from a business of being know-it-alls to learn-it-alls. And so every single one of those interviews that I did have got something to take away.
Yeah, I mean, there's such a variety in them. I can see you've got Aston Martin, Formula One, Aramco. You've got all these different kind of perspectives. They're quite diverse. I notice you also talk about low performing, moderately performing and high performing. So this is the whole area of measuring performance, which gets us into, I suppose, more challenging territory. Some people don't like to come up with scoring systems and so on. Just so tell us a little bit about that part where you think it's important to attribute a score to a performance, that to have some kind of measurement or account taken of where an individual or a team is.
Well, I think it's useful sometimes to have a gut feel, but occasionally you want to have something behind it that kind of validates that gut feel. And so what I've done, and people can use this for free on my website, which is markwoods.com, Mark with a C, that they can self-score their own team. So kind of red, amber, green of what behaviours do I see in my team? And do I want those behaviors or do I want something more than that? You know, do I want that kind of high performing way of operating? So let's take, that one team ethos that I talked about. Do I want a team that operates in silos? And there's no collaboration, or do I want a team that has strong cohesion and shares insights and collectively drives towards success? So I've just on my website, people just red, amber, green their own team, and it's not about me trying to give people a number. It's about giving leaders tools which they can then
They're sort of take it or leave it depending on how it integrates into their own business. Okay, well, listen, we have to leave it there. Sorry to cut you slightly short, but fascinating stuff. The book is called Best Teams: Creating and Maintaining High Performance Teams. The voice you heard was Mark Woods. Interesting background and career.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.
Since 2011, American Giant has been making everyday clothing with extraordinary effort. Not in far-off factories, but right here in the USA. We obsess over fabrics, fit, and details, because if you're going to wear it every day, it should feel great and last for years. From the cut of a hoodie to the finishing of a seam, nothing is overlooked. Our supply chain is tight-knit and local, which means less crisscrossing the country and more care in every step. The result is durable clothing, t-shirts, hoodies, sweatpants, and denim that become part of your life season after season. This isn't fast fashion, it's clothing made with purpose by people who care as much about how it's made as how it fits. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.